Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
When we think about problems young people could encounter through social media, our first thoughts may be about bullying, sexual content, and such. But if some kids are seeing or receiving such things, some other kids may be sending them, and those young people could be in trouble with the law. That is a warning that is coming right from the bench, so stay tuned. I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. My guests this weekend are two of the top judges in the Kane County courts. They've developed a statewide program to enlighten teenagers about the consequences of using technology the wrong way. The program is called Worries of the World Wide Web, and it was created by Kane County judges Clint Hull and Susan Clancy Bowles. Judge Hull is in his second term as chief judge of the Kane County Court, 16th Circuit. The coronavirus pandemic hit just 3 months after he was sworn in for his first term. Judge Bowles is the presiding judge for the Kane County Court Civil Division. She's also a candidate for 2nd District Illinois Appellate Court. They developed their program for teens back in 2015, and it's been adopted by the Illinois Judges Association. And I'll let them tell you what it's all about. We are conducting this interview via Zoom. Judge Susan Clancy Bowles and Judge Clint Hull, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, and thank you both for being here. I don't think anyone wakes up one day and says, I want to create a program about the dangers kids face on the internet. So, Judge Bowles, let's start with you. What were you both seeing or hearing that prompted this program, primarily for middle school students?
You know, I think Judge Hull and I both had young kids who were in school at the time that we came on the bench, and we had always enjoyed interacting with their friends and their activities. And it became pretty clear to us when we were going to speak to schools, primarily at the high school level at that time, that there was a need for this type of a program. We had teachers coming up to us saying that, hey, we're having a real problem with social media and kids not understanding the importance and the problems that they can encounter on the internet. So I think that was the prompt for us to take a look at it, as well as the fact that we had children that were experiencing the same things in our house.
And Judge Hull, tell me a little bit about what the program was in its initial incarnation and what has happened since.
Well, I think, you know, going back to 2015, when we started to develop it, it was pretty much, you know, this issue was in its infancy. We hadn't seen a lot of it. Schools didn't know how to react to it. Court system wasn't prepared to deal with it. And so it was really the teachers that put us onto this. But what we've seen over the course of the last 7 years, at that time, what we thought is this is just going to happen more and more, and it's going to get bigger and bigger, and the consequences are going to grow greater and greater. And unfortunately, the teachers and we were right about that. So when we started the program in 2015, no one was talking about this. It was again, one of the first programs of its kind. Now schools have speakers that come in that talk about digital citizenship. This is something that even, you know, there are different school districts that have focused and had different conferences on this. But what's unique about this program, the Worries of the World Wide Web, is it's the view from the bench. What do we see as it comes into our court system? And the goal is to educate and prevent juveniles or kids from having to ever come into a courtroom because of a decision that they made due to social media.
I think it's fair to say too that we updated the program here in the last few months, primarily post-pandemic, because kids like all of us have been for the past 2 years communicating more on the internet and online and not in person than ever before. So this program, while it's kind of out of date as soon as you make it, because there's different apps and there's different ways that kids find to communicate, but we really thought it was important to get an updated program and deal with it post-pandemic because of how everybody's been communicating these last few years.
And I would imagine it's kind of organic that because you, whether it's the two of you or other judges around the state, you're walking into a classroom or an assembly, and if it's live, so you are keeping it up to date by definition.
Well, and the kids really help us on that. I mean, we were guests of Thornton Fractional, and they were wonderful. And but what Judge Bowles and I both loved is that the questions that came from the students, they're so good and they're so on topic that it really, you know, it keeps us up to date about what's going on. But it also identifies they're thinking about this, they're in the midst of it. And so it just, you know, again, really is a positive in that they're willing to engage with us when we're there. And so that's, again, TF was fantastic and had great questions, and we had good interaction.
And I think it's fair to say, Judge Hull, would you agree with me that what we enjoy the most is that interactions with the kids? There's nothing better, and we built in time at the end of the program for that purpose, because that's great for us, because then things are, as we're speaking to the kids, we're not trying to lecture. We are giving different snippets of what's happened in other kids' lives and how their lives have been blown up by some of this behavior. But clearly something is resonating with these kids in the end when they are asking us questions about, well, what about this? And what happens if this? Or so I think we love that.
Well, we are going to talk about some of the specific behavior, but I want to take the long view first. And that is because there's so many things to worry about on the web, from predatory behavior to provocative activity. What are the most basic things that young people need to understand about this topic in general?
You know, if there's one thing that I think we hope they take away from this program, is that you cannot control the impact that your words, your tweets, your posts, or your pictures have on the other side of the computer, but you are ultimately 100% responsible or accountable for that material.
And I agree 100%. I mean, and I think what Judge Bowles and I have both sat in juvenile delinquency court, and what we both agree on 100% is, After a kid sends one of these texts or does something that could result in them appearing in juvenile court, when they end up appearing in front of us, they're 100% remorseful. I mean, there's no question that they are sorry for what they did, and their parents are sorry for what they did. But as Judge Bowles said, at that point, once they hit the send button, it's too late. Once that text or that tweet or that picture or that post is out, no matter how sorry you are about how it impacted somebody else, the damage has been done. And so you can be as sorry as you want to be. And again, they're 100% remorseful in most cases, but the damage on the other side has been done. And it's very hard to see the damage that those bullying texts or those pictures or videos have.
I think it's fair to say that most of this behavior that we see on the very surface level starts out as some sort of a joke, at least for the people who are sending it, or they think it's funny, or they're just exchanging between themselves, and how you can lose control of that material by forwarding it to the wrong person, who then takes total control of it and forwards it on. So a lot of times it starts out very innocent, but it doesn't always end up that way. Mm-hmm.
And I think probably a lot of these young people don't think about the fact that they could end up in the justice system. But I suspect, though, with one bullying, for example, that's probably like the simplest for people to understand. Threats, harassment, I think people can understand that that could be criminal, but where does it cross the line from just being cruel to your fellow students or whatever, and disgusting, to being illegal?
Well, one is, again, I was a prosecutor for 17 years, and a lot of it rests with the discretion of the police and the discretion of the state's attorney's office. And so they're the ones that have to receive the complaint and then decide what they're going to do with that. But what we've seen, and again, what Judge Bowles just talked about, is where it begins to cross that line is when it's repetitive. It occurs again and again and again, day after day. Very often, the parents of the bullied kids have already gotten involved and reached out and tried to work with school officials to stop it, and it hasn't stopped. And the impact that they're seeing on their son or daughter is so great that it then elevates it to a different level. And so again, it when Judge Bowles talked about, well, we're not trying to scare kids. We're not trying to say that you're never going to make a mistake, because everybody makes mistakes. But it's when that mistake is repeated over and over and over again, and it can have a traumatic impact on a kid, that's when it can cross that line. And that's when it does cross the line. But ultimately, it's discretionary with the police and discretionary with the state attorney's office. The judges don't have any play in that at all. We get the case, and by that time, that decision's already been made.
Now I know you don't want to scare the kids, but maybe in some ways we might be doing that, because I want to know what are the consequences that, for example, in bullying cases where it has been repetitive, where someone has been cruel to another person, what are the things that they face when they come into the court system?
Judge Bowles, you want me to start that, or you want to take?
Sure,
that?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, there's a couple different offenses. You know, what you had said is there's electronic harassment through an electronic communication device. That's one offense. Disorderly conduct is another type of charge that can come in. And so when they come in and they're under the age of 18, they'll come into our juvenile court system when a petition is filed. And then one of the things that Judge Bowles and I'm going to go off a little bit on a tangent, but one of the things that Judge Bowles and I talk about is, and a lot of before all this happened, when a complaint was made or something came in front of us, you know, it'd be a credibility issue. You'd have two sides that would argue about what happened. When you're talking about these threats that are being posted and sent, that part is gone. The evidence is right there in front of us. And so it's really not hard for the state to prove their case if it gets to the level where it comes in. The consequences vary. Again, the goal of juvenile court is to work on rehabilitation, to try to teach and correct rather than to be punitive. So the different sentences or the different punishments can be things from, you know, being on a level of supervision where they have to meet with a probation officer, being ordered to complete community service hours. The one thing that really captures their attention is when we say that, you know, we can restrict their use of their social media sites. And the minute you say that, man, they're the kids that aren't paying attention, pay attention, eyes pop open. And Judge Bowles, I'll let you go on as far as how that goes.
No, you're exactly right with that. I mean, one thing that we try and emphasize to the kids is once they're in juvenile court, their time actually becomes my time. I get to dictate to them, you know, what they can do, when they can do it, and who they can do it with. And no young person wants that. You know, that's not a good thing. That's not a good place to be. So as far as the consequences, Judge Hull's exactly right. One of the video clips we show in this program is of a fight. Two girls who are on a bus waiting for another girl to come on the bus with the intent to beat her up. And one is videotaping the entire thing. And that is direct evidence that can come into court about this assault, about this behavior, whether it's an aggravated battery or whatever it might be. And so it's in most young kids, sadly, have viewed a fight before in school or in the hallway or somewhere else. And we talk about the fact that, you know, in today's world, everybody has a phone pretty much on them all the time. They can take out that smartphone and they'll videotape an event or they'll take a picture. And that's how these things get to us ultimately, or proved up by the state in our courtroom. So Primarily by the time they get to the courtroom, as Judge Hull said, we're in charge of their free time. And that's just, that doesn't make a lot of young people happy.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Dellamore. We're talking about teens, the web, and the law. My guests are Kane County Judges Susan Bowles and Clint Hull, who created a program called Worries of the World Wide Web. Well, I want to switch from bullying to another activity that I guess can be prevalent, sexting, lewd texts or pictures. First, is it more common than we might otherwise expect?
It is, sadly, yes. This is how young people communicate today. It will tell my age, but we used to write notes and pass notes and fold them up in all these different fun ways and pass notes. But young people today send pictures and request pictures from each other. And quite frankly, will send pictures unsolicited of themselves. And that's how we get into trouble. That's their way of flirting in today's world. We talk about that. We talk about that a lot, about people sending pictures, about getting a picture that you might not have asked for, but all of a sudden you have that picture. So it's the way they communicate.
And Craig, one of the things I'd like to add on to that is one of the video clips, because what we try to do is we try to make the presentation interactive. And what we try to do is intersperse clips from actual stories, not only here in Illinois, but across the country. And one of the video clips that we play is from a sexting scandal that occurred out in Colorado at a high school, where the high school kids used a Vault app to try to hide these pictures. And they interviewed three of the students, and they asked the exact same question you asked: how prevalent is this? And the 16-year-old kind of, she looked into the camera and she was talking and she said, you know, it happens a lot. It shouldn't be, but it's just so easy. And she said, sexting is the new flirting. And I just always think about that line because it's just, you know, it's something that's happening. And when we do this in the schools, unfortunately, you know, we started at the high school level, but what we were told by the teachers and what we could see is the high school level wasn't, by that time, a lot of behaviors had already been, you know, it was really too late. And so we needed to hit sixth, seventh, and eighth graders. And a lot of times when we're talking to eighth graders and we start talking about sexting, they're well aware of what we're talking about, which again gives us an indication that it's happening.
And it's always interesting to us, because when we're talking about this particular topic and we talk about, you know, specifically we're talking about having a picture possibly on your phone of someone under the age of 18 who is nude or partially nude, perhaps in a compromising position, something like that. And you can see in the audience, people perk up and that a light bulb goes off in their head. And we say, we're not going to ask who has a picture like that on your phone. But if you do, then you need to pay attention to what we're going to be talking about here this morning. And a lot of our questions at the end revolve around possible pictures on phones, or how they got that, or what do we do now? And so it resonates every single time with the kids.
And there are levels to this too, because and again, here's it's the where does it cross the line question, because some kids may think, well, this is just between me and my girlfriend or boyfriend, and it's consensual, we're both agreeing to it. So what's the problem?
Well, and again, going back to the presentation, what we talk about is the very fact that many kids in the situation you just described believed it's private and it'll just be kept between us. But what ends up happening is that the person who receives that picture at some point decides they want to share that picture with one friend. And then that one picture, that one friend decides to share it with another friend, or, other kids that are on their team And then what happens a lot where it crosses that line is then all of a sudden the parent of the kid who's in the picture gets wind that all of a sudden might be a call from a friend that said, hey, do you know that, you know, my son has a picture of your daughter, or that this is going. And then they go down to the police department or they go to the school officials. And then that's where it starts to again, cross that line. Because again, if you think, if you're the mom or the dad of the kid who sent that picture, you know, when you know that that picture is now being distributed, it crosses a line real quick. And then ultimately the school, and then sometimes the police are involved. But one of the things that you asked about was, you know, the difference between 2015 and 2022. School districts really didn't know how to deal with it in 2015. Now in 2022, I think that they're much more accustomed to how to address this. And it doesn't always end up in the court system.
And it's fair to say, too, that the school districts, whether this behavior happens actually in school or not, the districts still have to get involved. Oftentimes it happens at athletic events when kids are traveling and pictures are taken and things of that sort. And talking about crossing the line, you obviously there's possession of pornography, what can be considered pornography. And then as Judge Hull said, the distribution part, which then is a much more severe potential crime if you're distributing, which forwarding on a picture that can be considered pornography. So that's where it gets serious pretty quickly. And again, the kids don't understand that.
We've been mostly talking about this from the, to use the police term, the perpetrator's side of it. But do you also have to talk about things from the victim side of it during these presentations? Because you're talking about young people who may be affected by it and what happens to them and what can they do?
Sadly, that has been the biggest change to the program in the update that we did. Because as I stated in the beginning, the fact that you don't have control that the impact will have on the other side of the screen and being responsible for that, we're seeing suicides as a result of bullying or different behaviors that are occurring. One of the videos we show, a mentally disabled girl ultimately hurts herself as a result of bullying texts and being coaxed into behavior. So really important for us to communicate that impact and what is happening on the other side and to the victims, so to speak.
It's a great question and a great point. I mean, really a great point, because again, going back to that remorse, you know, there's no question people don't understand the impact that it can have. And when it has that type of impact and they're sorry and they're crying and they're upset, it's too late. It's too late at that point. And that's what we want to say. You know, I guess, again, one of the things we talk about is the fact that kids have their phones on everybody, but most people, I can't say everybody, 24/7. And so somebody may be angry or somebody may get upset or one of these kids may make a decision to send something. And in the past, like Sue said, showing our age, you'd have to write a note. The note would have to get passed on. And at some point, you know, your anger would dissipate or you realize it's a bad decision. Now you hit send. You're angry. You hit send. You hit send. And once you hit send, it's too late. So, you know, you may have made a bad decision, but you can't take it back. And that's the killer, because then it has such a negative impact as well.
And I think one of the most poignant parts of the program is at the very end, when the kids are leaving the assembly, we have a video played to the Braveheart theme music. So really strong, impactful music. And it is just young teenagers who've committed suicide as a result of bullying or internet behaviors of some sort. And it goes through and just gives a little snippet of the age and why the person took their life. And the kids, as they're leaving the assembly, are constantly looking over their shoulder, trying to see as this video continues, because it's a number, sadly, it's a huge number of kids from all around the world, quite frankly.
Mm. And we are in an age when there are so many different platforms and some things that kids think are fun, but are the platforms themselves becoming problems? For example, I know you guys are aware of and talk about TikTok, which, you know, is a forum for kids to kind of show off for a few seconds. And I would wonder if that's not an encouragement of this kind of behavior.
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen and heard all, we fortunately have not had in our jurisdiction, you know, the TikTok challenge cases, which has been, you know, vandalize a bathroom, you know, hit a teacher, you know, that I think, and I think it's a testament to our school districts in Illinois. They're on top of this, you know, D303, our school district, they were one of the first ones to be on top of it, but throughout the state, the school districts do a fantastic job of educating the kids. And so we don't see those as much as you might think, which is great, but it definitely plays into what you're talking about.
let me ask, what surprises the teenagers the most when you're doing these presentations?
That's, I think the biggest surprise is what the potential issues are related to pictures, having pictures on your phone, when you didn't ask for them. That's one. We get a lot of questions about that. And also about then forwarding on pictures or having your device used by someone else to forward on pictures. And so why am I responsible for that? You know, that accountability is probably the biggest surprise. Like, hey, this isn't my fault.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, would you say that as well?
Yeah, 100%. And one of the things that's great is that what comes out of this, just you alluded to this in the beginning, I didn't ask for this picture. You know, somebody just sent it to me. What is my responsibility? I didn't want it. I still don't want it. So what do I do? And it's great to be able to tell them, hey, what the law says is if you didn't ask for it, you can't get in trouble for it. But you have it. You need to tell somebody. You need to tell a teacher. You need to tell a parent, which is not always the easiest thing to do when you're talking about a nude picture that you got sent and you need to get rid of it. But again, going to the, you know, we get a lot of really good questions that talk about, you know, how do I avoid this? What do I need to do so I don't get in trouble? And that's encouraging because that means that the program that we're doing is working.
And one of the things we open with, and I go back to that fight video that we show, because in that particular situation, both the girl who was the aggressor and was hitting the other girl was charged as well as the person who was taking the video. And so we get a lot of questions about that. If I'm in the hallway and I take a video of the fight that's happening, am I going to get in trouble? Well, no, you know, no, that wasn't the point. I mean, here it's like, no.
Yeah, they were planning it. So it's
right. These two girls were planning, we're waiting for this girl to come onto the bus. So it's a lot of reality check kind of questions and surprises about accountability.
We only have about a minute or so left, but what has surprised you the most as in doing this over the years?
For me, it's how prevalent it is. I think sometimes I live in a bubble and I'd like to think that it shouldn't or doesn't happen in our community. And that's 100% wrong because the different school districts we go to, everybody has the same issues. Everybody, you know, I mean, and so again, it just the fact that it's out there, the fact it's going to continue to be out there. And I guess that surprises me. It disappoints me. But in the end, you know, it's reality and we have to work together with school districts and communities to make sure that we educate and try to prevent it from happening. Sue?
I would 100% agree with that. I think that the kids think generally this won't happen to me, that attitude. And so unfortunately, because the internet is so prevalent, this is going to continue to occur. And I'm always surprised where I think when I have a young person in front of me in a courtroom, kind of, what were you thinking? Really, what were you thinking? You know?
And the answer very often is I wasn't.
You know, I was about to say, those of us who have children know that is in fact the answer. I would love to thank Kane County Judges Susan Bowles and Clint Hull for spending this half hour with us. Thank you both so much. To our listeners, if you would like a copy of this program or to hear it again, please visit our website, WBBMNewsRadio.com. There's a link on the homepage. You can also find our podcasts on Odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue. I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Dullimore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.